Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
No, nothing out the ordinary. Again, like Rob and I, we were just talking, you know, offline. We're about 13 days away. So, you know, guys are, you know, for the most part, I'd probably say 70% of our team is here and working independently of the coaches, obviously. But they're working and you know, they're handling business. You know, just from a coaching staff standpoint, man, we're just trying to make sure we got all these T's crossed and the I's are dotted. You know, we're just meeting about, you know, training camp, practice scheduling, situational ball, you know, roommates, pods, leadership, all those things, man. So we're just kind of breaking it down chunk by chunk, piece by piece. So we have a parent meeting tonight on Zoom. So, you know, I'll jump on and kind of touch base with them, you know, so to kind of get their feet wet, making sure that they know what they're getting ready to get themselves into here in about 13 days when we tee this thing up. So.
Is that primarily for that incoming freshman's parents to get an idea of how things are going to go?
Yeah, I like to have a parent meeting the first day that they're here. And for everybody that's listening to the show, my son goes to college too as well on August 9th. So I'm not going to be here on the first day training camp. This is the first day in 20 years I won't be at the first day of training camp. But my son goes to college, so drop him off. So I'm going to do that parent meeting a little bit early through Zoom and then we'll go from there. So, yep, just to get them informed.
Fantastic. Well, let's jump into fan questions this week, and we'll start with Dean. He would like to know, he says, everyone asks you about the wrinkles and differences for your team this year. What do you see in Crown that would make you think you're going to see different things from them this season?
Well, it seems like, you know, from the tape, and Crown is who they are, man. Their head coach is very confident, good football, offensive-minded ball coach. They're air raid, man, meaning – they're going to stay in 10 personnel, meaning they're going to have four receivers out on that football field, and they're going to have they got a quarterback who they feel really good about. They put the ball in his hands. They're not going to change much. They'll jump into a little bit of empty because, obviously, you know, they want to spread you out and get the ball into their playmaker's hands. So they look very, very similar. Now, I'm sure they're going to have something different for the Pipers come week one, and we've got to have to adjust. And week one games are always very interesting and scary to me because you just don't know. You don't know what people have been working on in off season. You know, who's going to show up. You know, so it's a lot of it, man. A lot of our guys, not a lot, but our team always hears the messaging from me in week one, early in the season too, is you got to trust your training. Trust your training, TYT, because, you know, it's going to come down to fundamentals and can we out-execute them. So.
Sean says, the first game of the season seemed like it would have a lot of pressure. So do you like opening the season on the road, or would you prefer that first game to be at home?
Ooh, never put a lot of thought into that one. Again, anytime you're playing in front of your home crowd, you know, the guys, you know, they're eating in their home calf. You know, I think it's always, you know, probably a little bit of a smaller advantage. So I'd probably say, you know, open up with Crown 1 o'clock out here in Claus Field, and hopefully we get a good turnout. It's a rowdy group in the student section, make it a little tough on Crown to play. It'd be great. So, yeah, I'd say being at home is cool.
Dominic says, Coach, I was looking at the schedule this season, and we're at Bethel, at Concordia, at St. Scholastica, at Carleton. I know no games are easy in the MIAC, but this looks like the schedule makers did us no favors.
Well, yeah, obviously, you know, you guys have been listening to this show, man. We just take them one week at a time. Man, nameless, faceless opponents, man. We're just gonna pray heads down and work, man. Try to chop down some of them big trees, and then obviously – in other games, man, we got to do what we need to do to be successful, man. So,
he would also like to know, he says, I wanted to ask you about the McAllister game not being in the evening. I love that primetime game. What prompted the change?
Great question. Well, there was a great football coach at Michigan. His name was Bo Schembechler. And I heard a quote from him a long time ago. College football should be played in daytime, man. So not that we made that decision, but, you know, if you want to get into the technicalities of it, you know, when you play a night game, being able to get that film. So if you play a night game, the game's over at, if you're lucky, 9:30, probably 10. And then right after that, you know, guys got to get film ready for the next day. It just puts a lot of pressure, especially if you have a smaller staff on, you know, a full-time coach to get that film done. So he's probably not seeing his family until the next morning on a Sunday morning. So that's why we kind of got away from the night games. But, it's something that, you know, something that we're going to continue to always look at and consider. From a staffing standpoint, is a real reason why we kind of got away from it. You play at 1 o'clock games over at 4, you know, you can have that film ready to go for the next day, which is a big day for college coaches on Sundays. You know, I can start watching tape at 6, 7 o'clock on a Saturday night after we play to get a jump on what we need to correct / looking ahead to next week. So that's why we kind of got away from the night games. It's a fair question, but again, it's not out the realm. But this year, we'll be all 1 o'clock games, except for our first away game, which is at Minnesota Morris at 6 p.m.
Bruce says, Coach, I'm a little interested in the psychology of sports. So I'm curious that when a team has gone through a 3, 4, or 5-game losing streak, do you feel that there's a sense on the team that they approach the next game with a sense that they're just going to lose? And how do you break that if they do feel that way?
That is a really, really, really fair question. Because, things can snowball, like it did a little bit for us last year. Messaging from me has got to be crystal clear that, hey, man, we can't worry about last week. You know, practicing how you practice to make sure that, you know, the guys are confident going into a Saturday. You know, that's a little bit on them and on me as well. But, you know, just being confident and being able to flush it. That's why, I always talk about, you know, try not to be a yo-yo player, right? You can't be up and down. Can't be a yo-yo team. Got to be even keel. When good things happen, celebrate it, move on. When bad things happen, we learn from it and move on. So that's really the key, is really trying to learn and move on and stop the bleeding. So that's a fair question.
Chrissy would like to know, what are questions you are frequently asked by parents the first time you meet them?
They ask, just background, my coaching philosophy. Why am I still at Hamlin? You know, that's come up. I'm trying to say, what else do parents? We were in front of parents last week. Nothing too crazy. You obviously get your personal philosophy, but then they like to kind of know offensively, defensively, special teams, what do you do? They like to know about the administration. They like to sometimes they'll ask about other sports. You know, does the football team support the volleyball team? Does the women's softball team come out and watch the football team? So they'll ask like what the community is like on campus. Multitude of questions.
Next up, we have Ed. He would like to know, do you provide team-building activities beyond practice to help build team chemistry?
Yeah, we do, man. I got a coach on staff, man, Coach Greenwald. God bless him, man. He's kind of been like my leadership coordinator, man. We did some leadership things with 12 guys, and that's going to spill over into in the training camp where we're going to take some days where we're not doing anything football, or I shouldn't say anything football. We'll be doing minimal football things, and it is team bonding, team building. If it's, you know, kickball or going to take them guys to the pool, or, you know, just sitting down and having an honest conversation about what leadership looks like, what communication looks like, you know, just, yeah. So we are pouring in to that piece of it.
Next up, we have Joe, who would like to know, what is the change you would like to see in college football?
That every game starts at 11 a.m. No, I'm a big fan of playing them games as early as you can. I hate sitting around and waiting all day, even though 1 o'clock is not late. But man, if we could just get up and just play, man. I don't like Saturday mornings waiting around. But change in college football, I think it would be one thing. I think, you know, is defensive pass interference, man, has always been iffy one. I think you should let those guys bang around a little bit more in the back end and force receivers to be a little bit more stronger to the ball, because we got called on some PIs, man. Even I can even think back to that St. Sko game last year. There were some defensive pass interferences that I'm like, holy smokes, man, like, you kind of coached that way, and I mean, it was getting called. So just that's the part of it where I think, you know, gets a little bit ticky-tack. If it's a blatant, you know, push the receiver down and impede him from catching the ball, that's fine. But hand fighting and body checking, I think they should let that go a little bit more. But that's just me being an old DB and a DB's coach. So,
you know, the other thing, too, Coach, is that wide receivers aren't 5'8", 185 anymore. You know, it's just like 6'4", 240 or something. So they can handle
those guys, I think. Yeah, those guys push off. I mean, I feel like it's starting to get to a point where you can't, it's like, what do you tell the defensive back, man? So
That was a good lead-in, because Rodney would like to know, he says, since you're a former defensive back, who is your favorite defensive back to watch in the NFL today?
Ooh, honestly, after just coming back from the Pittsburgh Steelers and watching those guys up close, man, they got two of them, Patrick Peterson and then Minkah Fitzpatrick, man. And Minkah Fitzpatrick was a very cerebral, smart guy. You know, they say that guy is, so if the Steelers play a game on a Sunday and they give the players, and the players come in on Monday, players are off on Tuesday. They said Minkah Fitzpatrick is in the coach's offices on Tuesdays, and he's sitting in there trying to get the game, not trying, but working through the game plan with the coaches, man. Like, that's the attention to detail. And that's why some of our players, and I shouldn't say our players, but players that want to be great, players that want to play on Sundays, like, that's what it takes, man. And he's a real, Minkah Fitzpatrick is a really good football player. And he could probably go out there and really play really well without getting an early jump. But, I mean, he's a football junkie. I mean, he's got the physical tools. But just hearing how he prepares for games, I thought that was really, really, really cool, man. So I'd say Minkah Fitzpatrick is a safety that I really like. And I'd say Patrick Peterson can still play at the corner spot. So
Jonathan says, Coach, I don't know if you've seen, but Ohio State enters the college football season as the number one team. Do you see them winning the title, or who do you see rising to the top?
Man, that's a good one, because, I mean, I have not seen, obviously I don't know a lot of the teams, but just going off of the Blue Bloods, I mean, I think you got to keep Michigan around. You got to keep Alabama. Georgia, Ohio State, like those are blue bloods that are traditionally always really good. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what TCU does this year. If they can ride that wave and get back into it, but you know, Florida State's supposed to have a loaded team, so we'll see. It'll be interesting. You know, one thing I do appreciate about playing a 1 o'clock game, circling back with that the gentleman that asked about night games, 1 o'clock game, and you get your game over, and you can catch a couple of football games on a Saturday night too, which is kind of cool as well. So, yeah, we'll see.
Two questions for you from Jabari. The first is, what do you think your teenage self would think of where you are now?
What do I think my teenage self? I think my teenage self would probably raise his eyebrows and say, wow, man, you really knew what you wanted to do, you know? Just being a captain on my high school team and, you know, really being excited to go away, play football at Illinois State. And now to be coaching and to be a head coach, I think that's a pretty cool accomplishment. And it's not like I accidentally, you know, fell into it, you know, by my junior year in college. And I kind of saw my DB's coach Ron Lambert. And I said, wow, man, this guy coaches football for a living. I thought it was pretty cool. So I started asking a lot of questions, and that's how I got in. So I think my teenage self would be, you know, pretty proud. Probably be upset that we're not winning more games. Probably tell me to get it together, but, you know, I think he'd be pretty proud overall. So
he'd also like to know, what is something that makes you smile every day?
A couple things I would say. Again, you guys have heard me talk on this podcast, you know, just my son, his growth and development, who he's become as a young person, getting ready to go on a new challenge in college. So that makes me smile. You know, just attacking work's problems every day. You know, Hamlin's a hard job, man. I feel like every time I walk in here, you know, there's a new challenge. You know, so and being able to help young coaches out and help young people is pretty cool. You know, when the light switch finally comes on for a young person, meaning it could be a football drill or a football concept or something they do on the field, or it could be something as far as a kid understanding, damn, if I go to all my classes and apply myself, I'm gonna get good grades. You know what I mean? Like when the light switch comes on for these guys, man, it's a real cool feeling too. So,
and at Hamlin, I bet it comes on a lot. So that's a good thing. It would joke a lot too there too. And Coach, what are our words of wisdom this week?
Words of wisdom. I saw something, and it just slipped my mind. So with that being said, I thought I had something for you guys. I would just say this, you know, just, you know, how you practice is how you play. You know, how you practice is how you play, man. So the goal for us is to make practices harder than the games. You know, I want to make sure we get to a game on a Saturday that when our guys get out there, they say, dang, practice was harder than this game. You know, so how you practice is how you play is the words of wisdom for today.
Fantastic. Coach Taylor, thanks for joining us this week.
Man, thanks for listening. All right, thanks, Rob.